Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Theology Thursday. Typically, we look at the news of the day from a Christian worldview. Today, we look at the source of the Christian worldview, God's Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We are studying the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1. Either the universe was always here or a creator made it. That is the only choice. Either an eternal God or eternal matter. If you have faith that the universe was always here, then your faith is in direct opposition to the most fundamental law of natural science. Your faith, then, is very unscientific because the universe is in motion. And when we look at the universe, we see that it's moving. And only fools believe in a perpetual motion machine. Only those who are scientifically naive or frauds would promote the existence of a perpetual motion machine. In the natural world, how is it that we know that there's no such thing as a perpetual motion machine? Well, the second law of thermodynamics tells us that machines break down. Things wear out. If you have a car, it will not run forever. You'll eventually have to get it fixed and eventually junk it. Things break down. They wear out. Friction causes the loss of usable energy. Fires burn out eventually. We have a friend who works at the emergency room. Had dinner with him a couple weeks ago, Alfred and I, at Denver General. And he was talking about bleeding. And he said, well, all bleeding stops eventually. Yeah. It just depends on how. All fire burns out eventually. Once it expends the available fuel source, then it burns out. Scientists refer to this tendency as the unavoidable increase in entropy. That's a little bit technical, but entropy is the disorder in a system. If there are logs in your backyard fireplace, that's a very orderly source of energy. And if it's cold out, you could go to those logs in that fireplace, start a fire, and be warmed by it. But if the whole neighborhood had burned down and your logs with it and it's cold out and the energy that was found in the logs in your fireplace is now, you know, the logs themselves, they're floating around the neighborhood in ashes. Well, you can't recoup those ashes and stay warm for the next 3 hours. You can't do it because the amount of entropy or the disorder in the system has increased. As the sun burns fuel, it is burning out, and one day, unless God intervenes, the sun will grow cold and dark. That's what will happen. That's because of entropy. If your son is trying to push your daughter in a wagon and she's dragging her feet, well, then she's causing friction that's going to use up some of his available energy. He's going to say, what are you dragging your feet for? I can't push you as far. And that's what happens in the universe. The universe has a lot of friction. There's a lot of movement. Many fires are burning. The entire universe forms a gigantic machine that's operating. But if you have faith, if someone rejects God and they have faith that the universe was always there, then they believe in a perpetual motion machine. And their faith cannot be established through experiment, by observation, by verification. Their faith forces them to believe that a fire could burn forever and never get put out, never expend its fuel, forever and ever. Such faith forces a person who holds that kind of faith to reject the law of science that physicists describe as the most well-documented of all the laws of nature, the second law of thermodynamics. This law has been tested, both experimented with in laboratories, research projects, observed in action 10,000 times, 10,000 times over. We know that fires burn out and friction causes the loss of available energy. This law is never violated, ever. Yet those who believe in the eternal existence of the universe must reject this most fundamental law of science. Their belief is unscientific, irrational, and foolish. The Bible, on the other hand, teaches that the universe is wearing out. It's running down, it's wearing out, just as the second law of thermodynamics teaches also. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, I'll read in verse 10, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, the heavens, but you remain, and they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." So the heavens will perish. They are growing old. Like you get a beautiful new set of clothes, and they look great. If you wear them frequently, in a few years, they look old. Pretty soon, you can't wear them at all. Things wear out. And the author of the Bible, God inspired the Bible to be written, knew that thousands of years ago, before anyone set down in scientific terms the law of thermodynamics. The universe is here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The universe is here, and there is life in the universe. Now, unfortunately, some non-Christians have difficulty even with that much, that the universe is here and there's life in it. They say, how do you really know the universe is here? How do we know that our minds are real? Philosophy professors have asked. That's how far some men will go to avoid running into God. They're scared to death to meet God because inside they know someday they will meet God. So they'll deny that the universe is a knowable reality or that they themselves are real. How do we know? How do I know that I'm real? When you deny God, who is the foundation of all things, then you begin questioning all things. Since God is the source of everything, all authority flows from Him. If you go anywhere near a college campus, you'll see bumper stickers that say, "Question authority." I hate those bumper stickers. I hate those bumper stickers. I wonder if they would want you to question the authority that says, "Don't spray black paint over their bumper." Right? They wouldn't want you to question that authority, but question authority. So if many are even afraid of this question, how did the universe get here? Why are they afraid of that question? Because one of the possible answers is by a creator. That's one of the answers to that question. How did the universe get here? Well, perhaps it was by a creator. The only other possible answer is that it was always here. And there we find out is the alternatives, the possibilities of where you are from. Who am I? Where am I from? How did I get here? Either there is an eternal God or eternal dirt. That's the choice. Eternal God or eternal dirt. You have come from one or the other. If you've come from dirt, then you can treat others like dirt. And how do young people in America growing up in our government school system, how do they treat other kids? How do they treat their teachers, adults, judges when they get hauled into juvenile court? We have a police officer in the room. How do they treat police officers? Like dirt. Like dirt, because they're told that they've evolved from dirt. Eternal dirt is their almighty father. If God made us, on the other hand, then you better treat one another as though you would a son or a daughter when their daddy's looking on. That's how you better treat one another, with respect and decency and honor and love. But that's too scary for many philosophers. So some philosophies deny even the existence of matter. Say nothing is real. This is all a figment of our imagination. It's not really there. In fact, the cult known as Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, wrote a book called Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And she said, you're not really sick when you're sick. You just think you're sick because the matter is not real. It was just an ancient heresy wrapped up in some Christian terms. And she said, so you just have to know and believe you're not sick and you'll be healed because you were never sick. So when her son, who was a follower, got sick, well, he wasn't sick. And they didn't get the medication he needed. And she thought he didn't die in her home, but he did. And finally, when he stunk enough that the neighbors could take it no longer, the police went in and removed the body that was not dead. People will reject matter. They'll reject anything that can link them to God. But if these philosophy professors don't even know if the universe exists or if they exist, then why in the world would they have become a teacher? Why? Only because misery loves company, and they want to push that doubt and rejection of rationality onto as many people as they can. Because God is the source of everything, many men are willing to doubt everything, so that nothing is real, truth does not exist, there's no such thing as absolute right, no such thing as absolute wrong. If you've watched the TV show we do for any amount of time, you know that liberals will call in who believe in evolution, and I'll ask them if they believe in right and wrong, and they hesitate. I'll say, it's simple. Do you believe in absolute right and absolute wrong? And they say, no. Even at CU up in Boulder, college campus, big university, debating, there must have been a group of 200 to 300 students, faculty, staff. And I asked this one woman in front of the group, do you believe that violent rape is absolutely wrong? And she said, no. And do you think the group objected? Do you think they booed her? No. It's 300 college students in Boulder, Colorado, the, you know, one of the pinnacles of political correctness. They completely approved of her answer. Is violent rape absolutely wrong? No. And I've asked people on college campuses and on TV, is it wrong that the Nazis killed 6 million Jews? Was that absolutely wrong? No, they will say. Was black slavery in America wrong? No, they will say. We've heard that just recently, just this year from a caller. How about Jeffrey Dahmer, a homosexual who raped and ate other homosexuals? Not always in that order. Was that always wrong? No. Was that absolutely wrong? No. Well, it's like the Aztecs, who the high priest would take a virgin and kill the virgin, skin this person, wear their skin in a ritual before the nation. Was that absolutely wrong? So many, who do we have? Was it an archaeology major, I believe, called in, a young lady? She said, no, there was nothing wrong with that. That was acceptable. That's what happens when you deny the foundation of rationality, the foundation of truth, justice. You become insane, and you know nothing like a fool. The liberal chant, you can't legislate morality, is sinking in. It's sinking into the minds of a generation. The law is the great teacher, and they say you can't legislate morality, so now there is no morality. I learned a long time ago that you cannot convince a college student that abortion is wrong. You can't convince a college student that if he doesn't believe that wrong exists. Since he does not believe that murder is wrong, when you press him, nothing is wrong. So you were batting your head up against a brick wall trying to get him to see that abortion was wrong. And the whole time the debate is completely irrelevant to his problem. But the universe is here, all the objections of the philosophers notwithstanding, and we are alive within it. Now, what do evolutionists say? What do evolutionists say are the odds of the first living cell coming together by random chance? What do the evolutionists say? Were the odds 1 in 10? No, they don't say 1 in 10. 1 in 1,000? No, 1 in 1,000,000? 1 in 1,000,000,000? How about 1 in billions? What do evolutionists say? Well, we'll assume in a moment, for the sake of argument, that evolutionists are right and that it can happen by chance. But first, even though it's an impossibility, well, it is an impossibility for, by random chance, life to begin. The first cell comes to life by chance. They say, well, given enough time and enough combinations, permutations, random occurrences, enough time, you'll get anything. Well, consider this analogy. How many dots make up your TV screen? Right, there's about 525 lines on an average TV screen. Not an HD TV, but a standard old-fashioned TV screen. 525 lines, a few hundred columns, and all these little dots, pixels. So that there's, you know, way less than 500,000 dots on your TV screen. Now, just imagine that we were to hook up a computer to your TV screen and have the computer randomly turn on and off all those dots just by chance and do the whole screen and then see what it looks like. And then do it again and do it again and do it again. Now, eventually, if anything, given enough time by random chance, if anything can happen, then that TV screen eventually will show every image conceivable. Right? They said that the first cell evolved by chance. So eventually we would see a picture on the TV screen, a diagram like out of a biology textbook of the first cell with the cell wall and the nucleus and everything you need to have a cell. We'd see that on the screen. Now that vision on that image on the screen is a lot less complicated than the actual cell. Way less complicated. So it shouldn't take too much time, right? Well, not only that, but we eventually would see everything. Because given enough time and with random chance, anything can happen. So one of the other pictures we should see is a picture of the White House Rose Garden with Hillary Clinton twisting the ears of Bill and Monica Lewinsky, with both of them cringing under the pain. Now, how many times would the computer have to randomly generate an image, a screen, before we'd see Hillary and Bill and Monica on the Rose Garden?
Next week.
Would we get it by next week? Would it take billions of times? If we had it do it billions of times, would that picture come up? How about trillions of times? Never. It would never, ever, ever, ever come up. How do we know? Because of the mathematical discipline of statistics. We know that that picture would never come up. We've tried it. The human race has spent billions of dollars and invested hundreds of millions of hours testing this exact little project, random noise on a TV screen and see what comes up. Now, we don't do it as much as we used to. But back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, you try to tune in a TV station and you can't get the signal and you get static, which is just random noise. The bits on the screen coming on and off. I have an expert here in electromagnetism, Rich Huxford, engineer. You get noise. That's all you get. You could analyze it with some type of a spectrum meter. And you know what you'd find? There's only one thing in all the world one image that's ever put on that screen. Snow. That's it. That's the only thing you ever get by evolution on a TV screen is snow. Now, you don't get a snowman or snow-capped mountains or a snow cone, but just a snowstorm with zero visibility. That's all you get. Not only will you never see Hillary and Bill and Monica on your screen, so you might as well turn off your VCR, Jim, but you won't even see less complex images. You'll never see a hammer. Never. Or a baseball bat. You'll never see the Eiffel Tower. Or a monkey, You just won't. Random chance is ruthlessly and vigorously and unavoidably average. That's what it is. It's always average. But let's say the evolutionists are right, and the odds are one in many billions that you might be able to get a living cell by chance. One in billions. Now, Australians had an idea. When lotteries became real big in this country, the East Coast lotteries were going over $10 million. And in Australia, this guy had an idea, formed a corporation, and said, hey, Australians, invest in my corporation. And when the lottery in a northeastern state or an East Coast state in the United States goes over $10 million, we'll buy all the number combinations. We'll buy them all. Because at the time, if I recall, it was like you had to pick five numbers of 1 through 24. It was about one chance in 8 million you'd win. So if the lottery went over $10 million, say it went to 15 or 20, and you spent $8 million, bought all 8 million combinations, then you had to win. You turn your 8 million into 15 million. And they actually did that. They did it. Now, what they didn't figure on is, what if somebody else won too? Then you might have to split three or four ways and lose everything. But there was something else they didn't figure on. Once they decided to buy the tickets, they ran out of time. They only bought 6 million. When they closed it down to do the drawing, they bought 6 million. Now, it turns out that they won. They won because out of 8 million chances, 6 million, the chances were 3 to 4, they'd win. If they tried that four times, three times they'd win. And on the long shot, it would be worth it. Chances are in your favor. Well, the state that this occurred in, and I've been trying to recall, it may have been Virginia, this was years ago, they then outlawed that practice. They said, no, you cannot do that. Now, if the state would have said, and did I say they won? They did win, and they split the money, and it went reasonably well for them, and they couldn't do it, haven't done it since because of the new law. But what if the new law had said, okay, Australia, you can do that for $8 million, but you can only buy one ticket. That's it. Well, then they obviously wouldn't have done it. It would have been real stupid. If you have a lottery ticket, you go to an evolutionist, and you'd say, I'd like to trade this lottery ticket for your home. You'd say, well, no, I would never do that. What do you mean you never do that? Chance is only a few in a million. You know, there's one chance out of 10 million you're going to win. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not, the odds are not worth it. Oh, why not? The odds are not in your favor. Is that what you're saying? You're afraid that you'll lose the bet? Well, that's very rational of you. Why are you risking your eternal soul on one chance in billions then? You fool. Why are you doing that? You're betting your eternal happiness away. You won't wager your home, but you will wager your eternal abode. You're casting caution to the wind, and he who sows to the wind reaps the whirlwind. You fool. That's why the Bible says of those who reject creation, of those who say there is no God, the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 53, verse 1, which David wrote. Ignoring God just because you can't see him is as foolish as ignoring radioactivity because you can't see it. Ignorance is not bliss. It can cost you your life. The Bible doesn't start with an argument for God. It just starts with the common knowledge that God exists. The evidence for his existence is overwhelming. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4, we read, for every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And you notice the logic in that? If you come across a house on a journey, you figure, well, there's somebody that might be around here because somebody made this house. Just like if you're hiking through the woods and you come across a campfire and it's still burning. And somebody says, well, that campfire was lit by the Vikings, and they haven't been back in hundreds of years. Nobody's been here since. You say, no, that's not possible. It couldn't still be burning. Well, the universe is burning. The sun is burning. There are moons, little tiny moons in our solar system that are erupting. Volcanic activity in these little dinky moons. It's like a campfire, and then how many millions of years later it's still burning? No, I don't think so. That's not rational. So if every house is built by someone, and he who built all things is God. Now, you know what the writer of Hebrews also says in the verse before? He who built the house has much more honor than the house. He who built the house has more honor than the house. The architect is more valuable than his drawings. In Romans chapter 1, verse 25, we learn a lot about creation in Romans 1. Verse 25 says that they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. They honor the house instead of the builder of the house. What do New Age folks do? Liberals. They worship dirt. Rocks. In the Old Testament, they would worship idols of stone. Right? They take trees and worship trees. What do they do today? Is it any different? No, dirt. They say they worship nature. Nature is their God. And I ask callers occasionally, what do you mean nature? Nature is a bunch of processes. You mean you worship processes? That's your God? Yes. Do you go to church in a cesspool? Because that's one of the processes of nature. Perhaps that's your God. You and fertilizer. I could sort of tell the resemblance. Well, the evidence for God is everywhere around us. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 19. We read, the Apostle Paul wrote, that what may be known of God is manifest in them. That is, it is evident to them, like evidence. It can be seen like evidence. What may be known of God is evident to them, for God has shown it to them. Notice what God has shown them. For since the creation of the world, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Wow. Now, what does Paul mean by that? This is inspired by God. God created the universe. And all you have to do is open your eyes and look, and you know that there's a God. That's why every culture has a belief in God as foundational to its belief system. When they've tried to stamp out a belief in God, what happens? It always comes back. Because the problem they're up against is every child who is born with a belief in God. They could never let down their guard. When you're fighting the laws of nature, you have a tough time. When you're fighting the truth, you cannot win. And eventually, the truth will win out.
Hey, this is Bob Benyard. If you would like to hear more, you could go to our store online. Go to kgov.com, click on the store, and then you can get our Bible studies, or go to the subscriptions where you could subscribe to our sermons and our Bible studies. You could get really fun verse-by-verse studies or topical Bible studies. I think you'll love it.